Our scripture this morning is in Acts chapter 11 as we continue our journey through this book. And last week we had seen how Peter had to defend his actions against the church in Jerusalem when the church in Jerusalem had criticized him for going to Cornelius and taking to the gospel to Cornelius, the first Gentile believer. And we had seen how Peter had to respond to that. And finally, as he changed, their thinking changed through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were come to accepting the Gentiles' need of salvation. Now we continue at verse 19. Luke records that now those who were scattered, had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. We talked about that last week. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw evidence of the grace of God. And he was glad, and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During that time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted a severe famine would spread out over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to their ability, decided to provide help with the brothers for the brothers living in Judea. And this they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Here's the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for its truth. And Lord, we thank you for your word that reveals to us you at work. You at work through your Holy Spirit, through people just like us. And I pray that through your word again this morning, you would do your work in us, in our hearts, and in us and through us is your church and your hands and feet in the world today. That as we put your word in action in our life, we can see the lives of others and ourselves and others made a difference for you. So Lord, speak to us, prepare us for your word today through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. Isn't it? We are a part of a world changing church. And I have a picture up here this morning, our church. And you believe that Reich's church is changing the world. Do you believe we can change the world? I hope so. I hope you believe that. You're here because we believe that we can change the world and make a difference. That we are part of a church that is at work and God is working through us to change the world. Our bishop has EC denomination, the vision statement that the EC church will be a dynamic movement of God led by pastors and laity who have a missionary zeal to reach the lost around them and a burning passion for God. And out of that burning passion for God, developing a missionary zeal. Anybody other than Kim and Ralph and Connie know who this is? Anybody know who this is a picture of? It's Jacob Albright, our founder. And Jacob Albright was a man who grew up in Lancaster County. In the Effort area, he was a tile maker. He made tiles for roofs, an ordinary man. And was not a preacher at all. Made tiles for roofs out of clay. And his children had got sick and they had died. And he went to a sermon, he went to his funeral at the church he attended, Bergstrath Lutheran Church, and a man preached a sermon there, and he heard the gospel presented, and he had never heard that before, and it really burned in his heart. He said, this is something to this. And he came to know Christ, and he had a passion of God to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to fellow Pennsylvania Germans in the area where he grew up who had not heard the message of Jesus either. And so he began to preach in German the message of Jesus to those around him. With the missionary zeal and a passion from God, that from that, it spread across the country and even in, you know where there's more EC churches than anywhere else in the world? In India. And the gospel spread from one man who had a passion for God and a heart, and it made a difference around the world. We were a part of that. And what God is doing and what God has done through people who have a passion and a heart for God. Well, God is at work. Do you believe that God is at work changing the world today? He is. And you and I are a part of that, of what God is doing. As we go to Acts chapter 11, we are discovering the founding of a church that indeed changed the world. The church of Antioch and how that church started. In fact, you and I are here this morning particularly because of the establishment of the church of Antioch. What God did there in establishing that church was a church that led to a worldwide missionary movement. That from the church of Antioch, missionaries are going to be sent out. The very first missionaries, the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is going to take the gospel to Europe and to the world from the church of Antioch, who had a missionary mindset to do that. And we are here because that church changed the world. How was it started? And what did God do through it? That's what we're going to see. The church of Antioch was established in the city of Antioch, which was 300 miles to the north of Jerusalem. Prior to this, the church had been centered pretty much around Jerusalem. And as we had seen before the conversion of Cornelius, primarily made up of Jews. When they were sharing the gospel, they were sharing the gospel with Jews only. And when Peter took the gospel to Cornelius, we had seen last week how the church had a hard time accepting that. But through the persecution of Stephen, they traveled north 300 miles and got to the city of Antioch. And what I discovered about the city of Antioch, as you can see where it's strategically located, it's right here. But Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire at that time. Right behind Rome was number one, Alexandria was number two, and Antioch was number three. And from Antioch, the gospel was going to go around the world, and both Rome and Antioch and Alexandria are going to become key places from where the gospel was going to establish, but all through the city and the church of Antioch. You say, so what's that matter? Well, Luke, it was so significant, Luke recorded it for us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that the characteristics of the church that Luke records for us here in Antioch is the characteristics and mark of a church that is changing the world of who we want to be in our lives as believers. And remember, the church is not a building. The church is you and me. And so the church is made up of us. So if we want our church to be a church that is impacting the world and changing the world for Christ, it begins with you and me. It's us. It's our individual members. It's each one of us and what God is doing in our life and through us. And so these characteristics of the church of Antioch really were describing the people there and really mean to be the characteristics of us, of what the marks of what God wants to display in us. So let's look at this church together and discover three marks of how what a world-changing church looks like. First mark of a world-changing church, a church that changed the world, has a missional mindset. A church that is a missional mindset. You say, what does that mean to have a missional mindset? When we think of missional, we think of missionaries. You think of missionaries maybe. I mean, that's the first thing it thinks of your mind when you think of missional, that has the word mission right in it. And we often think of that. But what is a missional church? Well, the simple answer is a church that's on mission with God. You say, oh, that's, you always use the definition to define it. But God is on mission means God is at work. And God is in the world doing things. And a missional church and a missional people, there's people that see that God is at work and find out where he is and join him. When we Henry Blackaby, in one of the quotes, we did an Experiencing God study, and his famous quote is, find out what God is doing and join him in it. And that's what it means to be missional. And often, for too long, the church in America has become a consumer church. And you know what a consumer church is? A consumer church is this. A church that is seen as a dispenser of religious goods and services. The people come to church each week to be fed and have programs given to them and have professionals teach their kids. Does that sound like the model of American church today? We come to church, we sit down, we let the professionals do the work, we just sit and then go home, and we expect people to come to us. That's the consumer mentality of the church and so many churches in America, and that's why people say, if this church doesn't have what I want, I'll go to this one, and they approach church like a church hopping, like they're shopping for a church that meets their consumer needs. But is that what God's plan for a church is? That's not missional, and that's not what God wants us to be. A missional church, instead of I go to church, it's I am the church. It's you and I. And a missional church is a body of believers sent on mission where we gather together to worship and to engage one another and to learn from the Word so that we can go out into the world and be God's hands and feet where we live and in the people that we meet and rub shoulders with. And we expect, instead of having people come to us, we go to them, and we are the church wherever we are. See the difference? And that's where God wants us to be, and that's a missional mindset, and it caused us to change our thinking, particularly in the American church, the church being on mission for God. A missional church views all of Scripture as an expression of God's mission, creation, redemption, and it adopts the mission of God as the primary motivating focus. More thinking about going to rather than coming. And it's a switch of having people come to us, but we go to them. And seeing and being on mission with God. So what is the mission? If God is on mission and we're to join him in it, what is the mission of God in the world? What's he doing? What's his mission all about? Anybody? Yeah, his mission is about the good news. Why did he send Jesus? He sent Jesus on a rescue mission so that we could be redeemed from our sin and be brought into relationship with him. And that's what God's all about, and that's what he's doing in the world, and that's what he calls us to join and to be a part of. So a missional mindset is the first mark of a mission of a world-changing church. And a missionary church engages the culture. Notice what they did here at Antioch. Luke recorded that when the persecution from Stephen took place, and we had seen when that had happened several weeks ago, many of the church scattered from Jerusalem. They were Jews, and they went to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and other cities. But when they shared the message, who did they share it with? Only Jews, people just like them. But in the city of Antioch, there were some people from Cyprus and Cyrene. Cyrene was in Africa. And Cyrene should bring back maybe something in your mind before. Because there was a man from named Simon who, whenever Jesus was going up the cross, he was called to take the cross of Jesus. And where was Simon from? Cyrene. Perhaps as he carried the cross that night, that made an impact on him. But he took the people from Cyrene and Cyprus, took the gospel to Antioch, and there they started to talk to Greeks and Gentiles as well. They crossed a boundary, and they began to engage those around them. And that's what God calls us to do as a church, to engage those who are different than us. They engaged the culture, and it was a pagan culture. The city of Antioch was a very pagan city. It was the third largest in the Roman world. There are a lot of pagan temples there. But the believers didn't fortress themselves. They said, there's people here who need Jesus. And we're going to share that good news with them. And they engaged the culture. and those around them. And it's easy for us, when we see the culture getting darker, for us to shelter ourselves. But God calls us, we really need to engage. And how do we do that? In our place of influence. And where is your and I's biggest area of influence as believers? Family? The family that you know, those who are closest to you, that's the biggest area of influence of where you can live out the gospel and where you can people can see Jesus in you. Also, those in our neighbors right around us, those that are the closest to you, and engaging those people that God has placed you around and having that missionary mindset of engaging the culture, not fortressing ourselves, shutting ourselves out, but seeking to be a difference. Kim, and she is down at American Music Theater, loves working down there, but one of the reasons why she does is because she said God's given her a ministry there. And everybody knows that she's a pastor's wife. They all know me down there too now, but they all know her. And they've gone to her with a lot of different things at times of questions about the Bible, which is prayer concerns. And God's using her down there to engage and to be a light in that wherever she is. And wherever you and I, there's influence God brings you. Engaging the culture, that's changing the world. And having that missionary mindset, realizing that we are to be out there representing Jesus, letting that light shine. The missional movement also centers on the gospel. That's what it's all about. Everywhere they went, it says that they told them, in verse 20, they told them the good news about Jesus. And that's what that's our message, that Jesus came to redeem. God sent Jesus on a rescue mission to rescue us from sin and to bring us back into that relationship with him. And that's the story that we share, the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And as our bishop likes to say, we're people of the good news, or we're good newsers. That's what it means to be evangelicals, to be a member, to share that good news of Jesus wherever we are. And the exciting thing about the church at Antioch is it multiplied, and a world-changing church multiplies by ordinary people. Because I want you to notice something here. Look down at verses 19. We're doing a little bit of Bible study here as well. Look down at verses 19 and 20. And tell me, can anybody tell me the name of the person who founded the Church of Antioch? This church that became world-changing, that we're here because of their missionary mindset. Can anybody tell me the name of the founder? No, because it's not mentioned. It was founded by ordinary people who were moved by the Holy Spirit of God, who shared Jesus with the people around them. You and I, where were the professionals? Where were the apostles, the ones Jesus had called to be the 12 to establish the church and to preach and to teach others? Where were the professional paid ministers at? Jerusalem. They were centered in Jerusalem. They weren't here sharing the gospel. It was the ordinary people who took Christ to those around them. And that's how God works, through ordinary people just like you and I, who have a missional mindset to realize there's people around me that need Jesus, and I'm going to live Jesus before them out in the world where people can see that and where it makes a difference. Because chances are, friends, most of the people that you and I know that don't know Jesus are not going to come to us here. We would love for them to, but the only chance they're going to see Jesus is when we represent him out there, when we are his hands and feet to a world that so desperately needs him. The church in Antioch got started because so-called nobodies witnessed and engaged their neighbors for Jesus. And that was the difference that it made. Anybody know who this guy here is? Most likely you've never heard of him before. Most likely the picture doesn't show back anybody. Even if I would say his name, most likely, and I am going to say his name, you'd probably say, well, who's that? But his name is Edward Kimball. Does the name Edward Kimball ring a bell to anybody? No, most likely not. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. He had a Sunday school teacher, and he had a heart, though, for his boys that he taught. And he had a lot of rambunctious hyper kids that he taught. Probably that was back before the days they discovered ADHD and autism, all that. But he had a lot of kids that were boys particularly that he taught. But one man in particular who didn't seem to understand what the gospel was about, Kimball took a great interest in. And so he went one day to the shoe store where this boy worked to share Jesus with him. And in the stock room, as he was sharing Jesus with the boy, one of his Sunday school students, he came to know Christ. Anybody know what his name was? Ralph and Connie know. His name was this guy, D.L. Moody. It was a Sunday school teacher, led one of his students, the Lord, D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody then became a great evangelist in Chicago, of course, then in Chicago, and went around the world and preached the gospel to many, many hundreds of people who come to know Christ. D.L. Moody, through his influence, and under his influence, he touched a man who came to faith under his ministry, because this guy, whose name was Wilbur Chapman. Wilbur Chapman was influenced by D.L. Moody, continued to preach the gospel. And D.L. Moody, as he's preaching evangelism, there was a baseball player, Gene, who came to one of his meetings. And a baseball player's name was Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday got saved. And he left baseball and he became a preacher of the gospel. And as Billy Sunday began to preach and sharing the gospel, a man came to faith by the name of Mordecai Ham. And Mordecai Ham became an evangelist. And he was preaching in Chicago, in Charlotte, in a tent meeting. And while he was there, this young teenage boy by the name of Billy Frank heard and came to faith in Christ. And Billy Graham went on to share the gospel perhaps with more people in the history of the church. And more people have come to faith through the ministry of Billy Graham. But it started, friends, with a Sunday school teacher by the name of Edward Kimball, who just shared Jesus with one of his students. And people are in heaven because of the work of a Sunday school teacher who most people don't even know, because God works through ordinary people. So I encourage you, wherever you are, and you say, but Dan, I can't make a difference. I'm not a preacher. I'm not gifted like that. I can't make a difference. Yes, you can. Because with the influence of the people that God has placed around you, you don't know how God's going to use them down the line to bring somebody else to Jesus. And it changes the world one person at a time. And we've all heard this story about this boy who was walking down across the beach, and this tide had washed in all of these sea starfish. And the beach was loaded with starfish. You heard his story. And he's picking them up and throwing them into the ocean one at a time. And this guy said, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to save these starfish. He said, well, the beach is loaded with them. What do you think? It's not going to make a difference to them. What do you think you can do? He says, makes a difference to this one. And he threw it into the water. And we may not be able to save the whole world. And we can't. But you don't know what God can do through one person that you have an influence in. And having that missionary mindset to realize that God wants you and I to be missionaries wherever we are, seeking to influence people for Him. So a world-changing church has a missionary mindset. Secondly, second mark is a dynamic discipleship. That a church is known and we are called to be dynamic disciples or discipleship. Notice what happens then. Verse 22, as people came to Christ, and it says a large number of people turned to Christ, news of this reached back to Jerusalem, 300 miles to the south. How that news was traveled before internet, before texting, how they got the news, but the news got down to Jerusalem. Hey, there's something happening up at Antioch. There's a church being established up there, not just Jews, but also Gentiles, and all these people are coming to faith up there. We better find out what's going on. And so the church in Jerusalem sent up Barnabas and said, Barnabas, check out and see what's going on up there. And help those people come to faith in Christ, because they were established, but now they needed to grow. And they needed to be taught what it meant to be a disciple. So they send Barnabas up, and Barnabas, when he saw them, he was encouraged. When he saw the evidence of the grace of God in their, at work in their light, and he was encouraged, and he encouraged them to remain true and faithful to the Lord, and teaching them what it meant to be a true disciple. We are talking about this in Sunday school, and I've talked about this with some of the guys and they were in relationship with, that often when me come to you and I make decisions for Christ as a child in small, in school, in church, maybe I was 5 when I was saved, and a lot of times we make decisions in the church when we're kids, we don't fully understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We just want to be saved. We want to go to heaven. We don't want to go to hell. We don't really understand that there's far more to being a disciple than just having fire insurance. There's far more to being a follower of Christ than that. It requires a commitment and a growth in our life. And learning what it means to be a lifelong disciple and follower of Jesus. In the church in Antioch, the disciples, Christians there had to learn that. So they sent up Barnabas, and he began to teach them. And from this, we see several qualities of discipleship that is dynamic, because the Lord calls us the Great Commission. The task that he's given you and I to do as the church is to make disciples. And if we don't know what a disciple is, how can we make that? How can we carry out God's commandment, God's mandate? But discipleship requires personal accountability. You see, now wait a minute. Personal accountability, and that's what was going on here. The church sent from Jerusalem up to Antioch to check to make sure they were accountable, that to make sure that their doctrine was accurate, to make sure, because they were established by people, when they made sure that they were getting apostolic teaching, doctrinal teaching. So times of personal accountability, and that's one-on-one. And in order for to grow deeper in our life as a disciple, you and I, we may not like it, but you and I need someone in our life to hold us accountable. Someone that we may enter into a one-on-one relationship with and has the ability to call out those things in our life that need to be refined to call us closer to Jesus. I'm in a relationship with a couple guys in the church, and we have a one-on-one disciple relationship, and those guys know that they have the freedom to ask me anything, to ask the hard questions, to hold me accountable, and I have the same of them, to call ourselves into that accountability. And I ask you, do you have anybody in your life like that, that you trust well enough, and say, hey, this is an area of your life that you need to be more like Jesus in? Because it's in those times of personal accountability that draws us closer, those areas of what it means to be a full disciple of Christ. And if you don't have an accountability person in your life, I'd encourage you, find somebody. Ask the Lord to lead you to that person who can help you in your walk with God. Are you being accountable in your times with me? And what you need to do? That's how discipleship happens. Also, we become a disciple through grace and encouragement. When Barnabas got there, he saw evidence, verse 23, of the grace of God at work. And he's seen God's grace being demonstrated in and through the church at Antioch. And he continued to encourage them. And through the encouragement, he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord. And when someone comes into your life, maybe it's that accountability partner or just another brother and sister in church in Christ, and encourages you and comes along the side of you, encourages you and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm with you. Keep going. Boy, that helps us in our life, doesn't it? Or when someone demonstrates grace to you whenever you don't feel like you're deserving of grace, but someone shows you grace and demonstrates that grace, how that helps us. And that's how we come, that's what discipleship is all about, extending grace and encouragement to one another. And the Bible says we need that. The book of Hebrews says the closer we get to the Lord's return, we need to encourage each other all the more. And to continue on in our walk and our growth with Jesus as a disciple of him. Discipleship also happens through biblical instruction. Notice what it says here. That in verse 25, that when Barnabas was encouraging them, trying to hold them accountable, he realized, boy, there's so many people that have come to Christ. They need to be taught. They need to grow. They need to be fed. They need to understand the truth. So he went to Tarshish, and he found Barnabas, and he found Saul, who had been there since a year now or more. And the last time we had seen Saul was his conversion, whenever he had been saved after persecuting the church, and the persecution was against him, and the church helped him escape to Tarshish for safety, and that was the last time we had seen him, and he was there in obscurity, continuing to study the word of God himself. And now Barnabas goes to Tarshish and brings Saul, and together for a year, imagine having the Apostle Paul and Barnabas as your teachers. And Barnabas and Saul came and taught them for a year what it means to have the word of God, and instructed them in the faith. And they became understood to be disciples. Discipleship comes through biblical instruction. As we come together on Sunday morning and we hear the word taught, and we learn together what God is saying in his word, and understanding the truth of Scripture, and through that instruction, we grow in our faith. And that's part of it, but it's also with encouragement and also with that personal accountability, all different aspects of how we become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Which leads to the fourth element of dynamic discipleship, and that's Christ-like living. Because when we are held accountable, when we are instructed in the faith, and we are taught the word of God accurately, and when we are encouraged and shown grace, it leads us to live like Jesus. And that's what we are called to be. We are called to be like Christ. Notice what happened here. It says in verse 26, the disciples were first called Christians for the first time in Antioch. It wasn't in Jerusalem where Jesus had been, where the church was established by the apostles, by the professionals. It was in Antioch where they were first called Christians. And that name wasn't given, they didn't take that name by themselves. They were given that name by the unbelievers in Antioch because they saw in these people, in this church, boy, these are people that we've heard about Jesus, and these are people that seem to look like Jesus. And we can see Jesus in them because how the church that was Gentile and Jewish had come together in loving one family and modeling together the unity in Christ, they saw Jesus reflected in them. And they lived that out amidst a world and a pagan world that saw Jesus in them and said, boy, these are Christians. These are little Jesus, little Christs around here. And they lived it out. And that's what discipleship is. Christ-like living, living it out in the world, that people see that. And Jesus said to his disciples when he prayed for them in the garden before that night of gone to the cross, he said, Father, I pray for them and through their unity that the world, they will know that you love, that I love them and you love me. And we've sung that hymn, they will know we are Christians by our love. When we live that out and they see Jesus reflected in us. Christ-like living is discipleship. And it happens through that accountability, through that instruction, through grace and encouragement as we encourage one another. So a missional mindset, a mindset to reach those around us for Jesus. Dynamic discipleship. Are you committed to be a dynamic follower of Jesus Christ? Not just knowing that you're saved, but going deeper than that. And going in that relationship of continuing to grow and to follow Jesus and what that means. Being faithful in the word and living it out and living like Jesus. And the third mark of a church that changes the world is generous giving. Notice what happened then in verse 27. It said, during that time, prophets came down from Jerusalem. It says came down, even though it was north. Jerusalem was at a higher altitude. So they came down out of the mountains and went up to Antioch. And they predicted, one of them named Agabus, predicted through the Holy Spirit that there was going to be a famine that was going to spread out through the whole Roman world. And Luke tells us that, in parenthesis, that this did happen during the reign of Claudius Caesar. But when they heard this news, the prophecy that was given, the church in Antioch was moved. Now, they're 300 miles removed from the church in Jerusalem. They don't even share the same culture because they're Gentile Jewish. The church in Jerusalem is solid Jewish. They don't share the same culture. They don't share the same customs or anything. But they heard that and they were moved. And they said, you know what? We need to take an offering, a love offering, and send it to the church in Jerusalem and just let them know that we're going to support them and love them during this time of famine so that their needs are cared for. No one said they had to do it, but it came out of a heart of love. And it was demonstrated a heart that changed the world, a church that changed the world. And a church that is changing the world is a church that is generous in their giving, and our church is. And that church giving was grounded in faith. Notice, because it says, Antioch, when the Agabus came down, he predicted that the famine would happen. It hadn't happened yet. But he said, there's going to be a famine, and it's going to affect the whole world, the Roman world, and they believe that. And they believe what Agabus said through the Holy Spirit, and they acted on faith. And when we respond in our giving by faith, believing that when we give to the Lord will bless that and give back much more. That's what he calls of us. By grounding in faith. Remember the story of Jesus when the widow gave the last mite she had. And she gave it in faith to the Lord, and the Lord always blesses. In that grounding in faith. But their giving was also motivated by compassion. Because they heard of what was going to happen of the coming of the famine, a severe famine, and they were moved by that, and they had compassion and said, you know, we want to help our brothers and sisters in the church in Jerusalem, the mother church. We want to help them through this hard time. And their compassion for others motivated them to give. Our church is changing the world through a missionary mindset, through seeking to be committed disciples of Christ, and also through demonstrating that generous giving. And done it many, many times, and you've demonstrated that many, many times. And I just want to, I can just give you some examples of how we're overwhelmed at how generous and loving you showed in reaching out to our neighbors. When we shared the need of the neighbors and, you know, having twins and just showing Christ-like love to them and the hard time they were going through with that. And God blessed and used you to touch their lives and to make a difference. And I just wanted to give you an update. I've been updating you on how they've been doing. Just yesterday, Ashley sent me some more pictures. And here are the twins now. And you remember how they were when they first come out, when they were first born, how serious they were, and look how well they are doing now. And that's because of you, and because how God used your giving to touch a heart and change lives. God is at work, and through generous giving, you are making a difference in changing the world. That's just one example. Other examples is what Connie mentioned with the missionaries around the world and what our missionaries are doing as you give through your missionary giving. God is doing some awesome things around the world, and you are a part of that, changing the world. Yes, you can say, what difference can we make from little here in Chickentown? But from here, a little place in Chickentown, lives are being changed around the world through you. You believe that? Isn't that something to celebrate? And that's what God is doing. Because God is at work. Another way you've demonstrated that is through the Operation Christmas Child boxes that you've given faithfully all these years. And those boxes have gone out all around the world, changing lives, bringing many. When we get to heaven, we won't even know the countless children and people will be in heaven because of you and your generous giving that God has used you to change the world. So isn't it exciting to be a part of what God is doing? To be a part of a church that is changing the world right here from Chickentown by the compassion that you have as you're motivated by compassion, giving generously. And that's what the church did. They weren't compelled to, but it said each according to their ability. They gave according to what they were able to do. And God blessed that. And God used it mightily. And we are here because of the giving of the Church of Antioch, who sent out the first missionaries. And from that, God is continuing to work. Grounded in faith, motivated by compassion, and shared in love. Because then they gave the gift, to Paul and Barnabas, who then went down to the church of Jerusalem. And imagine the church in Jerusalem, as we talked about last week, when they were struggling with this, whether Gentiles can be saved or not. And or we just keep the gospel to ourselves, to people just like us who are Jewish and not anybody that's different. And imagine the church of Jerusalem, the apostles, when Peter, when Paul and Barnabas come down with this offering from the church made up of Gentiles and Jews and says, our brothers and sisters in Christ gave this to you. And the power that that made, share it in love. And that's what God calls us to do. And the church at Antioch made a difference around the world for Jesus. You and I are called to live that out today. And our church making a difference to be a world-changing church with a missionary mindset to reach those around us. With dynamic discipleship of being a disciple of Christ and a follower of Him. And a generous giving spirit it gives to those in need. And that is who God calls us to be. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the believers in Antioch, Lord, who had a heart for you and a passion for those around them, that they wanted them to, those around them to know Jesus. Lord, may that be our same burden, that when the influence of those around us, our families, our neighbors, that we would engage them for you, that we would commit to be dynamic disciples growing in our faith and understanding being a part of biblical instruction, but also, Lord, having that grace and encouragement in those others to speak into our life, to hold us accountable in those areas we still struggle with and need to grow in. And then, Lord, out of what you bless us with, to give generously to those around us in need, that through that, the hands and feet of Jesus, and the love of Jesus is shown, and that makes a difference, and lives are changed. And so, Father, we thank you that you are at work around the world, and you call us to be on mission with you. So, Lord, help us to not to be a consumer-minded church, a church where we come to and expect people to come to us and come and sit and come and consume and leave. But Lord, transform us into that missional church, a church that goes from here to be equipped to go out, to live, to be your hands and feet right where we are, right where we live, right where you placed us, that people would see you in us. That we would have that Christ-like living, being a little Christ to those that you bring into our life this week. So send, equip us, energize us, empower us to go out and to be your church this week for you in your name, your power, and your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.